Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Hear these words from Jeremiah. The Lord proclaims, "Sing joyfully for the people of Jacob. Shout for the leading nation. Raise your voices with praise and call out. The Lord has saved his people, the remaining few in Israel. I'm going to bring them back from the north. I will gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the disabled, expectant mothers and those in labor. A great throng will return here. With tears of joy, they will come. While they pray, I will bring them back. I will lead them by quiet streams and on smooth paths so they don't stumble. I will be Israel's father. Ephraim will be my oldest child." Listen to the Lord's word, you nations, and announce it to the distant islands. The one who scattered Israel will gather them and keep them safe as a shepherd does his flock. The Lord will rescue the people of Jacob and deliver them from the power of those stronger than they are. They will come shouting for joy on the hills of Zion, jubilant over the Lord's gifts, grain, wine, oil, flocks, and herds. Their lives will be lush like a garden. They will grieve no more. Then the young women will dance for joy. The young and old men will join in. I will turn their mourning into laughter and their sadness into joy. I will comfort them. I will lavish the priests with abundance and shower my people with my gifts, declares the Lord. And now from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, as the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God, we are grateful for your presence, for the word that you give us that is a living word that continues to guide our steps and to fill our lives. And so open that word to us now and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be glorifying your name, so that as we leave this place, we go forth bearing Christ's mark upon our lives in all that we are and all that we do. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So one of the things that I love about Christmas season is the lights. Lights on trees, lights on houses, lights in the store windows, lights on lawns and in doorways. And when I'm out and I'm coming home at nighttime and I turn the corner on my street and I see the lights on my house twinkling, it says, "Welcome home." And in these weeks, which are generally so busy and this time of year, particularly this year, so full of uncertainty, that message of welcome home is particularly poignant. I like to just go inside, turn the lights on the Christmas tree, and sit on my couch in the midst of the twinkling outdoor and indoor Christmas lights. And it's a gentle disruption of the dark. With my dog Mackenzie's head on my lap, whatever weariness I'm feeling kind of begins to slip away, and I have this sense of peace that overwashes me. Light in the dark. It's a really powerful image. You know, I suspect that's why the tagline for Motel 6 was so popular for so many years. They always proclaimed, do you remember? We'll leave the light on for you. Lights on doorways offer a word of welcome, a sign of hospitality to those who are friend or stranger and needing a safe place to go. It's also a sign of protection against those who might be foe. The shadows are banished from here, so think twice about what you will do. You can be seen. Maybe that's why at the very beginning of God's story, the first thing that was created was light. God wanted us to know welcome and protection as foundational to all that was to be. And for John, in the beginning, was fundamental to his birth story of Jesus. For that is what the text that we read this morning really is. Now, we're used to the story of Mary and Joseph, of angels and shepherds, of wise ones from the East. But this too, this prologue in the Gospel of John, is a narrative of birth, a new beginning for all creation that is yet to be part of the first beginning. At the very start of it all was the Word, God's living Word, which spoke everything into being, and this one was for John, Jesus the Christ. This Word, this living Word, was life, and the life was light for all people. John wanted people to know that Jesus, the one born in earth, human as you or I, was also part of God's everlasting creation. With God, before time, in time, and after time. John wanted those who saw God in Jesus to know that they were children of God as Jesus was. Not by any of their own doing, but by God's own desire. All of us could be, all of us are, a part of the life that is also light. In Jesus' birth, we discover that God considers us a part of God's hospitality in the world, a part of God's protection for the world. But then John makes this rather understated claim about this light. He says simply, the light shines in the darkness. Really, John? I mean, this light is God's light. I mean, it just shines. It's just noticeable. I mean, it just shows up in the midst of darkness. That's it. How about this light gets rid of their darkness altogether? How about it takes the bleak midwinter with every sadness and every despair, with every raw deal, with every horrendous tragedy, every evil plan, every God-awful life-sucking disease, and tosses the whole mess into the cosmic trash bin? Couldn't the light win big, like obliterating all the shadows, John? It would sure make us a lot happier if it did. Well, Scott Johnson wrote about this text, the light came. The darkness looked up and saw it and thought, I don't get it. I don't understand what this light, this candle for the world, this hope for all people is all about. Well, I guess I'll just go back to being in the darkness. Being that which drags humanity down, that which nibbles at the edges of people's fractured souls, that which sneaks up on the people to devastate them when they least expect it. The Word of God came, says John, it came, and when darkness saw it, it shrugged its shoulders and went back to its work. Well, that's a bit depressing. I mean, this is God's light. Shouldn't God obliterate the darkness? I mean, it's been over 2,000 years since John told Jesus' birth story, and the deep shadows certainly still exist. So if we believe that John's story is true, then maybe we have to look at God's purpose in this story differently. Maybe obliteration just isn't how the God of creation deals with anything. A seminary student had to prepare a lesson plan on Isaiah 9. It's a text that we often read on Christmas Eve and is often shared when this particular passage from John is read. And Isaiah said it this way: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Well, as part of her research, the student decided to find the darkest place on the campus. And after hunting around, she discovered a little used racquetball court in the basement on one of the buildings. It was accessed only by going down two flights of steps and through a few heavy doors. A good portion of the court was probably underground. Now, this enterprising student discovered that when you got inside this court and closed the door and turned out the lights, it was really, really dark in there. There wasn't a single stray photon bouncing around that could make an impression on a human retina. It was, she said, totally dark. Scary dark. And when it came time for her to lead her class through the lesson, she brought them down the stairs, through the doors, and sat them down around the edges of the court. Then she said, "You are a people who live in a land of deep darkness," and flipped off the lights. There were gasps among the students, and then it got quiet, really quiet. And she waited. In the hush and in the dark, they sat. They sat and waited. And after 5 minutes, surprisingly long 5 minutes, silent and absolutely dark minutes, she said, "Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." And with those words, she struck a match and lit a small candle. Now, by no means did that small candle fill the vast room with light, but all the same, it changed everything. It changed them radically. For with the flickering of that light of the small candle, people could see themselves. They could just barely see each other. They had enough light to see surprised faces, puzzled faces, and even a couple of faces streaked with tears. For those in deep darkness, a little light made all the difference. There was just enough light. "The light shines in the darkness," writes John. You know, God doesn't work by just wiping out that which doesn't understand God, or even works against God. Rather, God chooses to put God's energy into being with us in the dark, chooses so that we recognize that we are not alone. The promise, the reality is that light is stronger than darkness, and only a small, seemingly insignificant amount of light makes it possible to see. Now, I read someplace that C.S. Lewis once said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." The light shines in the darkness, and there's enough light to see God's presence and the path towards God's kingdom. Enough light to have our vision reoriented and focused on things within that cast the light's rays. That is the story of the incarnation, of the birth of Jesus. God refuses to dwell in the heavens above and from a safe distance watch the drama of human life play out. But instead, God chooses to go right down into the darkest places to be with us. And in that holy, luminous action, we find enough light to hope. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who just completed his course of faith this last week, once said that hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. When we have hope, we act. And in hope, we pick up whatever light we can find, however small and insignificant it seems. And when we do, we discover that there are others like us along the way who are picking up the light that they have available to them. And as we journey together, each of us sharing the light that we can find, we begin to disperse the dread of the shadows. We begin to testify to the light, witnessing that we need not be afraid no matter the circumstances in which we live, because God is determined to be with us. And then we begin to live confident that love too is stronger than hate and life is stronger than death. And like light, love and life, even in seemingly insignificant amounts, can push back the darkness and make God's kingdom real. We don't know what 2022 is going to bring us. 2021 was a roller coaster. And as we move to the end of this Christmas season and lean towards Epiphany on Thursday, John invites us to celebrate that God's gift of light will continue to illuminate all the uncertainty that this year holds, and it will light the path of righteousness, and it will continue to show us the way home, the way to God's kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. If we continue to let our lights shine, we continue to walk in the direction that the light shows us, we will find welcome and hospitality on our way, and we will provide welcome and hospitality for others on the way as well. And we'll find the protection and the strength that we need to face whatever darkness is yet to come. And as we begin to give testimony to the light, we'll push back the shadows, house by house, street by street, city by city, nation by nation. Then one day we can join with the psalmist and proclaim that darkness and light are the same to God. For light will cover the darkness in love. I think we have enough light to begin. Amen. I know Pastor Bob always ends the sermon with a time to invite you of how to take that message out into the real world with you when you leave this place. And, you know, I think it really is about right now focusing on those small things that we can do. It's being nice in the grocery store to clerks. It's being patient with people on the highway. It's offering a word of grace, of taking a breath before making a critical comment, of reaching out to those that are lonely, and making a phone call to someone who maybe you haven't talked to in a long time. It's doing the work that we do with feeding neighbors in our communities who are hungry. It's finding those small, tangible things that are actually a part of the light that God has given you, that we share, that when we share it, as long as we keep doing that, the light multiplies. And the light will then spread from place to place, much like you probably did on Christmas Eve when we passed the candle around at Christmas Eve, right? It's about reminding ourselves that God has come to us in this season, and that God will never leave us alone. And that in that, that God is within us, lighting up our hearts so that we can light the way for others. So I would encourage you this week to find some ways that you can think, what light do I have, however little it may seem, and what can I do to share it so somebody else will find their way? Amen. Amen.